إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. With respect to our continuing discussion with regard to taqwa and the inculcating of this in ourselves, we come to the issue of the sunnah of Rasulullah. And we come to this issue because when we talk about taqwa, or you talk about anything for that matter, you need, and you say we must bring it up or we must improve it and so on and so forth, the question becomes, to what standard? Because if you say you must improve something, improve it to what level? So there has to be a standard when you want to implement something. And the standard with respect to Islam is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The best example for you is the life of my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the reason why I believe that it is fard to study the seerah. To study the seerah is the hukum of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not mentioning this in passing. By the way, it so happens that my Nabi's life, you might like to look at it in your free time. Allah is not saying that. Allah is saying, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. A good example for you, the best example for you is the life of my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, why is Allah mentioning this? Because it is absolutely critical and essential to study the life. Now, why is this so critical and essential? Because the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the living demonstration of the tafsir of the Quran. If you look at any of the ahkam of the Quran, if you wanted to see how to implement that hukum, where do you go? In the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why the famous story from the seerah of one of the sahaba, he came to Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, and he said to her, please tell us something about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she said, don't you read the Quran? He said, yes, we read the Quran. She said, his life was the Quran. So the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the living seerah of the, is the living tafsir of the Quran, of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the reason why it is absolutely critical to study the seerah. The sahaba studied the seerah. The Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, his son says that our father used to gather us together and he would tell us the stories of the seerah. They used to call them maghazi. He used to talk about the ghazwat of Nabi ﷺ and the other things of the seerah. The sahaba used to study the seerah. Unfortunately, today we have completely relegated the seerah to I don't know where, because even in our madaris and darul ulooms, there is no specific subject of seerah which is taught. The seerah that the talaba, the students, study in our madaris is what they get either from Asbabun Nuzul or what they get from a hadith. So when they are reading the hadith, whatever from the asbab of the hadith, they will get some story of the seerah, and that's all they know. The seerah as a subject, which should have been one of the major subjects, like studying the Quran and hadith and fiqh and so on, it does not exist. It's a very major fault in the syllabus design of even our religious institutions. Now forget about everybody else, other people don't seem to see it at all, and that's why it's a very big loss. Now think about this also. And that's the reason I say it is fard to study the seerah. The seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the biography of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is without a doubt the most researched and the most detailed account of anybody's life in the history of mankind. There is nobody but nobody whose life has been documented that closely as the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And let me give you an example, right? Let me ask anybody, do you love your father, Tala? You sure? What do the soles of your father's feet look like? There is a description of the sole of the feet of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the seerah. If I tell you, what did your father do, what does he do when the first time he wakes up in the morning, as soon as he wakes up in the morning, what does he do? Can you tell me? Can anybody tell me, your father's, who you love? First, as soon as he opens his eyes, do you know what your father does? There is an account of what Rasulullah used to do. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, the Prophet would wake up and he would sit, and then he would raise his hand like that, his finger up, and he would recite the last two ayat of Suratul Baqarah, from Aman al-Rasul to the end. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, look at this. Abdullah ibn Abbas anhu, at that time must have been maybe 10 years old or something like this. He's not a grown man. He is saying Rasulullah woke up for tahajjud, and when Nabi is waking up for tahajjud, he's not waking up by 2. He's talking about like 2 o'clock in the night or something. He says this is what he did. And he's giving this whole description. And he said, then I went to get water for him for wudu. I brought the water. I poured the water. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made wudu. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his blessed hand on the chest of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And he made dua for him. And he said, Ya Allah, give him the understanding of the Quran. And that is why Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is the first mufassir of the Quran. Now think about this. This 10-year-old boy is reporting that the Prophet ﷺ woke up and did this and this and this. So what was this boy doing at the time? He did not say the Prophet ﷺ woke up and woke me up and then. No. He was already awake. He was already awake. This was the level of khidmat of Nabi ﷺ. This 10-year-old boy who is in the khidmat of Nabi ﷺ was already awake and alert enough to be able to report what the Prophet ﷺ did when he woke up. Now, I can give you any number of examples. There's a book of mine on Sirah called The Leadership Lessons from the Life of Rasulullah ﷺ. So I can give you any number of examples. But my point is, just think about this. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause every single aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be recorded? People counted the actual number of white hair in his head and beard, and they said there was not more than 20. Can you tell me? So your father, your grandfather, who you love, how many white hair does he have in his beard? People actually counted. They counted the number of white hair in his head and his blessed beard, and they said they were not more than 20. Such detail, I mean, absolutely detail. You can't imagine anyone's biography in the history of mankind will not have details like this. Every single detail. What did he wear? What did he eat? What did he like to eat? What did he eat with showing the joy of eating it? What did he eat? He just ate it. He didn't say anything. What did he prefer? What did he not prefer? Every single thing. When he got up, what did he do? When he mounted the animal to ride, what did he do? When he got off, what did he do? Every single detail of the life of Rasulullah ﷺ is documented, authentically documented. And that's the standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set us. And that is the reason why it is so critical to study the seerah. Number one. Number two is then to follow the seerah. In every little detail. Not say this is a small thing. This is not an important sunnah. These kinds of statements, at least please don't even say it. Because this is a statement of arrogance, where you are putting yourself in a position where you are going to judge which part of the life of the Nabi is important and which part therefore by inference is unimportant. If Allah wanted to do that, Allah would not have said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah would have said, take this from my Nabi's life, the rest of it you can take it or leave it. No, Allah did not say that. He said, the whole life of my Nabi is worthy of emulation, is the best example for you to follow. So that is what we need to do in terms of our lives. Right? The sunnah of drinking water. How many sunnahs are there in drinking water? How did he eat his food? I mean, I tell you this, there is no end to this. We can talk about this, forever, so I'm not going to do that. But I'm saying that this is the degree to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused these things to be recorded. And that's why it's a very important, that is our standard. So the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the standard. Final point, why is it so important? Okay, so we love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, and we should, because the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over and above the love of anyone else except Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is a rukun, it is a condition of iman. We are not doing him a favor by loving him. This is a condition of iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who does not love Allah and his messenger more than anything else is not a Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, let him go and wait for my azab. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةً تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. In Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these things. I won't go into the detail. Look up the ayah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning and specifically listing down all the things that we love, our family, our money, our houses, and so on. And Allah is saying, if you do not love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than you love all of these things, فَتَرَبَّصُ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ, go and wait for the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend on your head. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. And Allah reiterated and reinforced and said, and Allah does not guide the rebellious people. So the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a rukun of iman. It's conditional upon us to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not just love him more than anything else. So this is part of that. But how do you love somebody unless you know them? And why is this love so important? Because the sunnah is the way in which we can convert every single action of ours into an action of worship, into an act of ibadah. And that's the blessing and the beauty of the sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established it and He said, this is the best way for you. And if you follow that way, then what happens? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make my ittiba, emulate me, imitate me. Do what I told you to do and do also what I did not tell you to do, but I used to do it, so you do it anyway. And what will happen? Yuhibbukumullah, Allah will love you. Ask yourself, what is the value of Allah loving you? According to me, the most basic benefit, absolutely basic benefit of Allah loving you is that your dua will be accepted. Whatever you ask, Allah will give you. This is the absolutely minimum benefit of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu loving you is that your dua is accepted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself said, Wallahu ghafur rahim, yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, Wallahu ghafur rahim. What do we need when we have to leave this world? We need only one thing. The human being needs only two things in life. He needs hidayah while he is alive, and he needs maghfirah when he dies. Nothing else is daruri. He does not need anything else. He can do without anything. He can do without health. He can do without wealth. He can do without power. He can do without authority. He will survive. He will survive. Whatever span, lifespan is written for him, he will live that lifespan in a healthy way or as a sick person, but he will live that lifespan. I'm not saying sickness is good, but you can still live with sickness. But what you cannot live with is hidayah. If you do not have hidayah, then your entire life, no matter how wealthy and powerful and healthy and whatnot you were, that entire life is gone down the drain because you did not have hidayah. Hidayah is daruri. That is absolutely critical. And second one is maghfirah when you die. Maghfirah when you die. Because if Allah does not forgive us, then the story will start when you die. It won't end. That's where the story starts. That story has no ending. So hidayah in life and maghfirah when we die. These are the only two requirements. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I will give you this. Why? If you imitate and emulate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's it. Just be like him in every way. And Allah says, maghfirah is yours. Khalas. Jannah is wajib. Because if Allah has forgiven your sins, then what happens to the person whose sins are forgiven by Allah? Jannah is wajib. Khalas. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make us eager to learn about the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to emulate him in every single aspect of our lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us hidayah while we live. and to give us maghfira when we die, and to take us in a state of shahada when we die. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased and never to be displeased, and to accept our coming into His house and to accept our du'as. Today is Yawmul Jumu'ah, and as we know, there is one sa'ah, there is a time in this Jumu'ah where whatever you ask, Allah will give you. So ask Allah for that time, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you want. Continuously, don't waste the Jumu'ah. Spend the whole time in dhikr and in making dua. Continuously making dua, and make lots and lots and lots of dua for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all talk about the sunnah and importance of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But one of the most important sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to make dua for his ummah. How many people are making dua for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is one of the biggest sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for his ummah. He made dua for us. So let us emulate this sunnah by making dua for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By all means, make dua for yourself and your family and so on, but make dua for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is one of the biggest sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil karim wa alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.